Juba in South Sudan is in chaos today as the international community watches a rebellion take hold in that city. Media reports cite attacks across the city, and local embassies are calling for evacuation of non-critical personnel. The stormy 5 years since South Sudan became the world's newest nation has it holding on once again. A peace deal has all but collapsed, and speaking from Kenya, the U.S. Ambassador Robert Godek has called for a regional peace effort.
They must stop the violence. They must restore peace. We cannot stand by as an international community as this country, South Sudan, is plunged back into violence.
The violence comes from troops loyal to President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar, who began shooting at each other in the streets earlier this week. Nakdora Dwayne Bassey is founder of the American School of South Sudan. She's speaking to us here from the United States, had been planning to go back to South Sudan. Nak, what are your plans at this point?
It's really hard to tell. I have two young kids, a four-year-old and a one-year-old, and it's very hard for me and my husband to decide to take them back into that kind of situation. I'm just a recent graduate. I graduated in May, so we're trying to re-pivot and figure out what's the best steps for not just me, but for the family as a whole.
What are you hearing from essentially what you hope to be your home?
This is really hard times, and it's very sad. It's a bit of deja vu from December 2013 when South Sudan broke out into civil war initially. But what I'm hearing from friends and family is most people are just under their beds, scared, waiting for the fighting to pass so they have the opportunity to flee.
And the children in South Sudan have not benefited from much education over this five-year period. What do you expect for your own family if you were to return there? There has not been a sustained period of tranquility to begin the process of developing educational institutions and all of that.
That is true. The educational institutions are very weak. But I am a big believer that if there's peace or if there's an opportunity for people to build livelihoods and build schools and actually be able to just have a chance at life, things can happen. I mean, that's how the American School came into fruition. And even when I was there in Juba, I had my two-year-old there. It wasn't the best. She was in the school. She was getting education. She was learning her ABCs, her 1-2-3s. So if there is peace and sustainability, things can happen. Things can develop. But when it's in chaos, it's very, very difficult to do anything.
I guess I'm wondering if you share my frustration that South Sudan should be such a challenge. I mean, nothing's easy in the world of diplomacy and finding peace. These are internal conflicts. They're not conflicts with the North, and they're not necessarily conflicts over the oil resources in South Sudan. Why can't peace hold, at this point in time?
I definitely think currently our two leaders, Riek Machar, our president, and our first vice president, are really, really taking the country into a dangerous direction. And it's unfortunate that so many civilians, young women, children, and older individuals are feeling the brunt of this and suffering. And what I definitely believe is that we need a new generation of leaders to actually take South Sudan into a new direction. We have so much work to do in terms of just developing ourselves as a nation after 22 years of civil war with Sudan. We should not be putting on further issues, further problems in terms of violence and chaos, where we cannot ever have that chance to actually have livelihoods and support ourselves and actually get South Sudan to the status of where it needs to be, where the citizens can just live and prosper, and their children can live and prosper.
When you and your husband talk about the future and when you talk with other people from South Sudan, how much time do you think you have?
This is going to be a lifelong journey, and I don't know if it's going to be necessarily in my generation, but I definitely believe that if we can just have good leadership that can allow peace and development. So yes, it's going to take time, but if we can just have peace where people are not being killed, where our leaders are not battling over power, where there's not two armies in at the capital city causing intense issues into a region that where people actually just want to develop and have peace.
Who can negotiate between these two leaders, and what's the chance that there would be power sharing between them? And what's the danger that young people in Juba, leave the idea of peace and instead join this armed struggle that you describe as being pointless? But since school is out, the alternative to, become the militia of your own neighborhood is there in front of every teenage boy.
It's a very real and a very hard circumstance that is a thin line between going back into full-fledged civil war and losing South Sudan for some years to come, or it is a time for the citizens to reclaim their country, and meaning that we have to be clear that our leaders currently are failing us, and we have to have a voice, and we have to have it loud, and say that this is the time where a new generation of leaders are going to come and develop South Sudan and do what we can to make a difference. It's very hard to know what the future will hold, but I'm a firm believer, and a lot of the conversations I've had with my friends, my colleagues, and it's the same narrative. We have to stop talking about the failed leadership. What is it that we can do to ensure that there is the right leadership that will take this country to prosperity?
Naknor Dwanibasi is founder of the American School of South Sudan, is awaiting the moment to return and become a part of that new generation of leadership. Thank you so much, Nak.
Thank you.